please stand either in body or in spirit for the call to worship? Holy, holy, holy is the God of hosts. The whole earth is full of God's glory.
Our hearts are filled with thanks, O God. We bring before you our songs of praise.
All rulers of the people are called to praise God. All people of the earth are subject to God's rule.
The steadfast love of God surrounds us here. We have come to see and hear and understand.
Let the threshold shake with the power of God's voice. Let the people tremble before God's glory.
God's purposes endure and will be fulfilled. Our lives can be channels for God's grace. Amen.
This wonderful spring morning.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful day to be gathered in our house of worship on this beginning of spring break Sunday, you might have noticed. But we would invite you, if you would be so kind as to find the attendance registration pad, which should be on one end of the pew or the other, if you would put your name on that and pass that down, let others share so that we know the names of those that we are worshiping with. You'll also find a prayer card tucked into the pocket in the pew in front of you. You'll have an opportunity later to bring that prayer card forward. So we encourage you to put your praises, your concerns on there. There will be an opportunity later for you to come up and pray at the front of the church, or if you prefer to stay where you are, you can just lift that card up and one of the ushers will receive it for you.
Let's say the affirmation of faith together.
We believe
in God the Father Almighty,
infinite in wisdom, power, and love,
whose mercy is over all his works,
and whose will is ever directed to his children's good.
We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need.
We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, whose presence fills this place of gathering, we bow before you in majesty and awe and wonder. We consider the vast universe of your dominion. We are humbled by your attention to us. Your steadfast love and faithfulness amaze us. You care for the lowly. It gives us a sense of our own dignity and worth. Send your gospel to teach us, to save us from ourselves, to lead us into all truth. Show us the tasks we can accomplish for you, and grant us the courage to reach out in your name to do them. Amen. Please be seated. A reading from the sixth chapter of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of God for the people of God.
As we come to our time in this service this morning, where we hold up our joys and concerns to the Lord, I want to especially hold up those who minister to the folks in our nursing homes, the homebound. Bill Cooper and several of you take communion once a month. But in addition to that, we have a very regular, vibrant ministry to those who are living in some of the nursing homes and elderly living places here in town. And that's been led by Jim McDivitt. There's Jim. Jim does that a lot, very regularly. And also Mike Puckett. And then, as I said, some of the others that take communion every month, including Bill Cooper, who kind of heads that up. But we have another member who has been assisting in one of the nursing homes for a long time. And we don't normally see him on Sunday morning because he's always been busy over there. But he is a great part of this congregation. And I'm just going to ask Tom Cole to stand up. And we need to give him a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. We thank everybody who came and worked in the workday yesterday. We had a pretty decent turnout for being this early in the year and all of that. A lot of things got done. You notice we moved the donuts. And anyway, that's a great thing. And it was not as much work as it looks like it was. But then, of course, I was just standing there saying, put it over there. And we have enough young, strong people around here that they were able to do that. We thank especially, in addition to Brian and Luke Yates and Grandpa Mike White, we thank Brian especially for getting our sound fixed. So we have both levels of sound this morning, and we thank you for that, Brian. We also have some concerns this morning. Dennis Jenkins, who normally sits right back there, kind of right behind Glenn and Nancy Turner, has passed away this last week. He was only 52 years old. Our prayers are with Nancy and the family. Services will be on April the 8th. And at this time, we invite you to come forward and bring your prayer request cards, to take a moment and kneel at the altar and pray if you wish, or hold your card up and an usher will take them, or you can put them in the collection plate. Let's sing together.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us this morning as we find ourselves in the middle of Lent. We ask you to help us direct our thoughts to the coming of Easter. And we ask that you make this time a season where we can find our way back to you. And so today, as we hold up the names of our friends and our family and our church family, we pray that you keep them safe and give them peace and healing. Remind all of us that it's impossible to have a life without grief or without pain, but you are there with us when we hurt. We ask you to let us feel your presence. And this morning we raise our celebrations and our joy. Help us to see these moments as blessings from you. And help us to see the joy in every moment. We pray that this church will grow and do your work in this community. We pray for its leaders, its ministries, and its future. Remind us that in your church, there's a home for each of us and a role for each of us to play. Help us to hear you calling during this Lenten season. We raise these prayers along with the prayers that we don't even understand ourselves to our Father who taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will the ushers come forward to receive the morning offering? And as they are coming up, I will let you know that with spring break this coming week, the church office will only be open on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. It will be closed on Thursday and Friday, and it will be closed on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons. There will be no regular Wednesday night activities. Taylor Bells and Chancel Choir will meet on Wednesday, and Grief Share will meet at the regular time on Wednesday morning. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to accept this offering this morning, to use it for the good of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you take a moment now and turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ among you? And the kids can come on up for the children's time. Okay, turn around and face me.
Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Okay, let's hear it.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Okay, very good. Okay. Well, hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good.
All right, well, I want to prepare you for Pastor Tina's sermon this morning, because there is, well, part of it's going to be about the Old Testament scripture from Isaiah that someone read this morning. I forget who. I have a poor short-term memory. Well, welcome, kids. Okay. Anyway, so this scripture is kind of hard to understand, but all I want you to understand about it is that there's a line in there where God is saying, who shall I send? And that somebody or another says, send me, I'll go. And that's a scripture that they use, sometimes you hear it used in ordination services or services where pastors are trying to figure out if they want to be a pastor or something like that. That's a very significant scripture. But what I want to ask you is, has there been a time when you think that God has asked you to do something? Okay, Calvin? Get closer.
I have many of them. I don't know which one to choose.
Okay, well, think of one.
Let's see.
This might be a time God is saying, think of a story.
Okay, anybody?
That's all right. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
It feels like sometimes he's saying, pray a lot to me.
Okay. Anyway, pray a lot, yes.
He tells me to read the Bible and pray every single day and every single night.
Very good. So God is asking you to pray and read your Bible. Very good. Anybody else? Has God given you a specific job to do? Luke, can you think of one?
Pray and read the Bible.
Read the Bible, okay.
Every day.
Yeah. Well, yesterday, there were a lot of specific jobs. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Come on up, Emily.
When you're supposed to listen to your teacher when she's doing, like, a Bible verse.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that might be a time God is saying, listen to your teacher, especially when you're talking about Bible stuff. But yesterday, on our work day, we had a whole list of jobs that needed to be done. And it was a very long list, and we knew that we wouldn't be able to get them all done, but we wanted to have sort of a selection of jobs for people to pick from, because they might find something that they wanted to do more than other things. But God is, so this is, we could think of it this way, that God is saying, here are some things that need to be done in the church. And yesterday it was about the things in the building that needed to be done. But in our lives, there are always things. Don't you think that God has a list? And God is telling you that there's a list of things that God would like you to do in your lives. Now, can you think of one thing that in the future sometime down the road that God might be calling you to do? Yes, go ahead.
That he says to always keep your belt on when you're in a car.
To keep your seat belt on. Very good. Okay, that's good. Yes, sir.
When you're like driving, you have to pay attention on what you're doing. You could get in a crash.
Right. God is saying don't crash into other people. Luke?
Pick which job to use.
Wait, say that.
Pick which job to do.
Good, yes. Pick which job you do. Okay, one more. Wait, let's go back to Calvin. Okay, Calvin.
Help the blind and the poor.
All right, help the poor and the blind. Sure. Okay, well, all right. Here, I'm going to stand up because my knee is kind of getting... There we go. Okay, all right. I want you to start being aware that in your lives, the older that you get and the smarter that you get and the more skills you develop, that the more things God is going to be asking you to do. But the main thing is we have to learn how to listen to God so we can hear God listening to us, speaking to us, and we'll be listening to that. So let's say a prayer together. Lord, help us all to listen to your guidance and your direction. Lord, there's so much that needs to be done in this world, and some of it is kind of tricky. Knowing which things to do and not do, which things to say and not say, which things are important enough to upset people, and which things just are not a very good idea. And Lord, we have those questions in our lives every day when it comes to churches and or not. And so we ask for your wisdom and for your peace and strength and guidance for these children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We'll see you all next time.
Our second reading comes from the book of Acts. We're going to be reading just a few verses from chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Listen to how God asks these people to speak. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now would you pray with me, please? Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you and of value to your people. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I pray. Amen. This morning we continue our sermon series on dangerous prayers. Prayers that we might be a little bit hesitant to pray because we're a little bit concerned what God will do with us if we do so. We've talked about dangerous prayers like stretch me, fill me, feed me, bless me. And today our dangerous prayer is use me. Now, use me kind of seems like a dangerous prayer to us because that phrase, use me, has some pretty negative connotations in 21st century society, as well it should have. Nobody wants to be used. Nobody wants to be used for someone else's selfish gain or taken advantage of or manipulated. No one wants to be a doormat for another person, nor should we. But to pray, the prayer, use me, is something completely different. God doesn't use us in a way that hurts us or is negative. When we pray the prayer, use me, we want to pray a little bit more like Oprah Winfrey. No kidding. Oprah Winfrey, years ago, was given a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Daytime Emmys, and in her acceptance speech, she said, "Growing up in Mississippi, my prayer was, for as long as I can remember, God, use me. Use this life. Use me. I don't know what the future holds for me, but I know that there is a vision for my life that is greater than my imagination can hold. Use me. Use me. What would you have me do?" Now that is a use me prayer. And it's a prayer that any one of us can pray. A prayer that any one of us should pray, but the reality is that more often than not, we have a tendency to look at ourselves and think, why would God want to use me? How could God possibly use me? Too often we think that we do not have anything to offer. We're kind of like a certain grandma named Grace. Now, the story of Grace is told by Dwight Robertson in his book, You Are God's Plan A, and there is no Plan B, which that in itself will preach right there. That should be a sermon sometime in the future. But in this book, he tells the story of a little old lady named Grace. Now, Grace was a pretty ordinary person. She was elderly, she had gray hair tied up in a bun, usually wore kind of flowery dresses and stockings that sometimes would kind of crumple up around her ankles. She and her husband lived on a farmhouse in Indiana, out in rural Indiana, and they had raised together five sons who were since long grown and gone away. They were living their lives in other places in the country. So when Grace's husband passed away, Grace found herself at a point in her life that was a little different than where she'd been before. She had time on her hands. She had fewer responsibilities, less things to stay occupied with. And she had this desire to do something significant for God. But as she told Dwight, I don't know how God could possibly use someone like me. Now, isn't that the way that we tend to think? That's the way I tend to think. How could God use somebody like me? I'm nothing special. I'm not rich or famous or powerful. I don't have any special gifts or talents. How could God use somebody who's an ordinary and imperfect person like me? Because we all know I mess up. But the Bible is full of stories of people who God used for His glory, imperfect people, people who made terrible mistakes, people who were not anything special, and then God used them to build His kingdom. Remember Jacob? Jacob, who's the father of Israel? Now, you would think that Jacob would be somebody really special, someone who's smart and wise and loving and wonderful. But you know what? You know how Jacob got to a position of power? He cheated his own father and tricked his father into giving him what was not legally his by going to him and pretending to be his other brother who had hairy arms. So he put sheepskin around his arm and went in and said, "Look, I'm the one that you want to bless." And he got the blessing under shady pretenses. Not such a perfect guy. How about Moses? Pretty significant, important person in the Bible, right? The one who led his people into freedom out of Egypt. And yet Moses killed one of his fellow Israelites. He committed murder. Moses argued with God and said, "Don't send me. I don't have the ability to do this stuff." Moses argued with God to the point that a lot of people think that he was probably a stutterer based on his self-descriptions, but yet God used Moses to deliver the word of freedom to the Pharaoh. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was a nobody, a poor young girl from a small town. What about Paul? The apostle, he wrote an awful lot of our New Testament. We still base much of how we understand our faith, our Christianity, on the apostle Paul's writing. And yet, Paul is described as someone who was kind of small and had bad vision, and his first career was killing Christians. All of these imperfect, you might almost say immoral people, and yet God chose to use them in a way that would build His kingdom. We don't know why exactly God would choose to use them, but we do know this, that somehow God saw in them what they could not see in themselves. And then He provided everything that they needed. Just like in the scripture that Judy, it was Judy who read the scripture, just like in the scripture that Judy read for us earlier from Isaiah. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It's my call scripture, if you will. But listen to this powerful image. "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance around Him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And they called to one another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory.'" Now, I will be the first to admit that if you look up artists' renditions of this scripture passage, you will come upon some things that are quite creepy. There are some images of this that might make you think, you know, this scripture is kind of a messed up, angry, scary vision of God. But I don't think that's what's intended at all. I don't think that this scripture means to scare us away from God. Well, considering that it came from the prophet Isaiah, he may have meant to scare us, but I don't think that's what God has in mind. I think that this scripture is about a man who finds himself in the presence of God, and it is astounding. It is crazy good. There's creatures flying around. The place is shaking. God is awesome. And the prophet realizes, I am way out of my league here. I have no business being in the presence of God Almighty. I'm a nobody. I shouldn't even be here. And yet, God provides everything that he needs so that he can be used in the way God intends to use him. He takes that coal and touches it to his lips, and God removes the guilt and the sin and the misgivings. God provides the skill set that this person needs so that by the time they get to the point where God says, who am I going to send out to go do my work in the world? This prophet is able to say, ooh, pick me, pick me. That's what God wants from us. God wants us to see in ourselves what God sees. All of us who often feel like we're a little bit less than, that we're a little out of our league and we have no business doing busy, important, wonderful things for God, we are exactly the ones who God wants to put our hands up in the air and say, pick me, pick me, pick me. That's what this scripture is about. And that's what God can do for us. We don't have to worry about not being good enough or smart enough or pretty enough or articulate enough. God will give us the skills that we need, just like he did for that grandma named Grace. Remember her? Now, Grace found herself one day reading a prison ministry magazine, and no, I didn't know that those existed either. That's not on my magazine subscription list. But she was reading a magazine that had a personal ad in it from a young inmate who was writing to say, I am in search of a spirit-filled grandmother guide. It seems that this inmate named Bobby had recently accepted Christ while he was in prison, and he didn't know what to do next. So he was reaching out, trying to find out if there was somebody out there, a grandmotherly safe type of a person, who could just give him some guidance as he began his life of faith. So Grace contacted the editor of this magazine, and the editor got her in connection with Bobby, and a very special relationship began. Grace wasn't really sure what to do to start with, but she found some correspondence Bible studies, and she started through letter writing to walk Bobby through these Bible studies. And eventually, Bobby started sharing all of this with his cellmate, and his cellmate came to Christ. And then they started sharing with other people. Grandma Grace started referring to her prison pen pals as her boys, and before long there were 7, and then 10, and then more. It got to a point where it was so much to do that this one elderly lady couldn't quite handle it all, so she knew she needed to multiply herself and get more volunteers. Isn't it amazing what God can do with us when we make ourselves available? Isn't it astounding how God will take that tiny little bit that we have to bring and use it to change the world? You put a few dollar bills in the offering plate and you can help feed someone in our community for days. You speak a kind word to a stranger in the grocery store and you may unwittingly give that person just enough hope to live for the next hour. You get together a bunch of spunky ladies and a big old pile of yarn and you will have prayer shawls coming out of your ears. Have you seen the prayer shawl displays out in the narthex this morning? If not, when you go out there, take a look. There's four tables and several chairs covered with prayer shawls that our ladies have made in the last 8 months. They just started 8 months ago. And actually, many of the prayer shawls have already gone out. So what you see out there is just a fraction of what these women have done. Some of us didn't know how to crochet or knit. Some of us are cranking them out four at a time. It's an amazing, amazing ministry. It just goes to show what people can do when we allow God to use us for His glory. And if you think about it, we don't even know how many times God has used us, each and every one of us, without our even realizing it. Imagine what God will do if we consciously and intentionally invite God to use us. Use me, Lord, with all my faults and shortcomings and mistakes, use me. That's how the kingdom of God is built. When ordinary people like you and I are willing to open ourselves up to being used for God's purposes and to allow His power to prepare us to do His work, when we become the hands and feet of Christ, like Grandma Grace. It wasn't long before Grace's prison letter ministry just exploded. The inmates that she wrote to started telling their families. If sometimes they would go home and get released from prison, and then more and more of their family members would start to know about what God was doing in their lives. Many of the people had contact with Spanish-speaking people, so Grace had to find some Spanish-speaking friends so that they could write to the Spanish-speaking community. The ministry continued to grow exponentially until the U.S. Post Office finally told Grace that she was going to have to get an industrial-sized mailbox or they wouldn't be able to deliver the mail anymore because she was getting so much correspondence from over 10,000 people around the world. Grace and her fleet of volunteers were making this amazing impact, which all started from one little person saying, "I don't know how God can use me, but here I am." Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, "I do not want an industrial-sized mailbox." And if that's what's going to happen, if I offer myself to be used for God, I don't want any part of this. But here's the good news. God will use you in the way that is right for you. God wants you to be His hands and feet. You are needed to do ministry. You and 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 you. You are needed. One of the reasons that this story about Grandma Grace speaks to me is the way that she multiplied herself. The more the ministry grew, the more people were added to the volunteer force. What a concept. Didn't somebody named Jesus do something like that, remember? He surrounded himself first with 12 people. He taught them, he nurtured them, he empowered them, he equipped them, and then he sent them out to do the work of God. And then each one of those 12 gathered a group of people around them, and they taught them, and they nurtured them, and they equipped them, and they prepared them to do ministry, and they went out. And it spread, and it grew, and the good news spread to every corner of the earth. One of the most humbling lessons that I have had to learn as a pastor is that there is no way on earth that Laird and I can do everything that needs to be done in the church. There is no way. Even surrounded by our fantastic, well-skilled and gifted staff, there is no way that all of us can do everything that needs to be done. So thanks be to God that He has surrounded us with so many ministers. You see, Laird and I, we're just the pastors, but all of you are the ministers. And the more that we learn to multiply ourselves and equip and nurture and empower and send out all of the ministers who God has called to do His work, the more this church will grow and the more the kingdom of God will expand and grow. That's why all those prayer shawls are out in the lobby this weekend. We need your prayers to be added to the prayers that the women have already prayed into those shawls. We're asking you to go out and put your hands on those shawls and pray over the people that are going to receive those, so that the ill and the homebound and the grieving will be wrapped with the prayers of the entire church. It has taken me 8 months to come to the point where I am willing to admit I cannot get those shawls delivered as fast as our prayer shawl people are making them. It's not that we don't have people that need them. I'm failing. I can't get it done. So the prayer shawl ladies are going to start delivering them. Mr. Pottle, when he goes to the hospital, he's going to start taking prayer shawls with him. Lynn Moore, when she goes to visit people, she has a wonderful homebound ministry. She's going to start taking them. She doesn't even know that yet, but she's going to find out. We need you to tell us who is out there who is hurting and in need of some comfort and some encouragement. We need everyone to take part in this ministry. You know, Laird and I, we can't even get to all of you when you come to church on a Sunday morning to have a nice conversation and see what's going on in your lives. So that's why our new welcoming ministry is going to get to work welcoming people into our congregation in a new way. Now, I know that you saw the donuts out there today. The coffee bar has moved. You know why we did that? Because where they were located down this back hall, if you didn't know that they were back there, you wouldn't know that they were back there. But out here, whether you come in from this door or that door or even the red door way back by the Sunday school classrooms, no matter what door you enter the church, eventually you're going to come up into this lobby area and you will know that we have some coffee and some donuts and a place for people to sit and get to know each other. And our welcome ministry led by the Coopers is going to start doing some simple training and equipping of hosts and hostesses and our greeters. We're going to add more ushers. We're going to start having parking lot greeters. But we're going to get everybody together and get us all on the same page so that we're all comfortable with knowing what do you say when a new person walks in, and what do you not say? And how do you start a conversation with someone you've never met before? Because it is so important for all of us to minister to the community of Roswell. And guess what? Having the coffee bar right out here outside these back doors is going to get a little noisy. We're going to open up these doors and make sure that they are left open at least 15 to 20 minutes into the start of the service. Because if you have ever run late, and I'm sure none of you ever have, but if you have ever run late to church, especially if you have not been to that church before or if you've only been there a few times, and you come hustling in the doors and you realize that the sanctuary doors are already closed, what does that tell you? It tells you that you really need to think before sneaking in the doors and seeing if you can get in without interrupting anybody. So we're going to keep the doors open a little longer, and you know what? We're going to hear people when they come in. And somebody may be talking out at the coffee bar. Somebody might even laugh. And we might hear that. But you know what? That is the sound of God working among us. We might have a mama who needs to take her crying baby out into the narthex, and you know what? If somebody needs to take their child out there, I want them to open those doors so that they don't feel like they have been shunned from the rest of the church. They need to be able to hear what's going on and know where we are in the service and still be connected with the rest of their family, even if it's only because they can see them through the doors. And if we do that, you know what's going to happen? We're going to hear children making noise out in the narthex. And that is one of the most beautiful sounds that you can ever hear in God's church. And if it bothers you and you want to get further away from the hubbub that's going on out there, then I invite you to come and fill up these front pews, because there's a whole bunch of space right up here. And that will get you further away from the noise. Amen? Or the choir. Do you hear the noise out there, choir? No! See, we can meet everybody's needs. God is at work, folks. God is doing a great and glorious thing among us. God is moving. And he's calling you to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is always a good thing to be used by God. On the other hand, if you refuse to be used by God, that's not so good. Ever heard of a musician named Paganini? Great violinist, outstanding musician, fabulous violin that he owned. And when he died, he willed that the violin would be on display in a museum with one caveat, that it should never be used by anyone else. Well, it's a funny thing about violins. As long as you're using them and handling them and playing them, they age with grace and become more resonant and more beautiful in the sound that they make. But if you put one up in storage and never touch it or use it, it just becomes decrepit. And eventually it loses its value. When God uses us, he molds us into something that is so gloriously beautiful in his image that we shine with his greatness. And when we refuse to be used by God, not so good. So let's pray the prayer, use me. Use me, Lord. Use us for your goodness and your glory to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all who we encounter. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we join together in our closing hymn, I encourage you to hear the call that God has placed upon your heart. If you would like to open yourself to Christ and receive him today, if you would like to join the membership of this congregation, we encourage you to come forward to the front of the church, and we will receive you into the most beautiful congregation you could ever be a part of. So let us stand together and join in our closing hymn. I pray that you will have a blessed spring break. I will be leaving town tomorrow to go to a class in Albuquerque. Laird and Beth will join me later in the week, and then we're traveling to Colorado because on April Fool's Day, my son is getting married, and I get to officiate at the wedding, no fooling. So next week you will be blessed to hear from Reverend John Fuss and say a prayer for all of us that we won't be fools on April Fool's Day. Now, go forth with the blessings of God, knowing that you are a minister called, equipped, prepared, and sent to take the good news to all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.